WJMM. This is the Stan Bible Broadcast. My name is Kevin Schultz, and I'd like to welcome you to your time with the Stand Strength Team, the greatest exhibition of power, strength, speed, and intensity where Christ is exalted, the Word of God honored, and the lost evangelized. In the studio today, the founder and director of the Stand Strength Team, Evangelist Dr. T.A. Nalyon, also known as Shrek. Welcome back, one and all, to the Stand Bible Broadcast. Today, we continue a message by the late Dr. T.A. Nalyon entitled, Heaven, a wonderful, uplifting, biblical account of what we as believers in the promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can expect as we pass from this life and enter the gates of glory into heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts, in awe of your indescribable beauty that surrounds us, that the world takes for granted, scoffs that this profound magnificence was created by you in 6 days. We praise you, Lord, for your wonderful continuing works, believing that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that this day you will bless this message and use it to draw many to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Who said to the old Quaker preacher, I don't believe in that which I cannot see. I don't believe in that which I do not see. And the old Quaker preacher said to the atheist, well, have you ever seen wind? And the atheist said, well, no, I've never seen wind. But the Quaker preacher said, you feel the effects of the wind? You can see the wind as it blows through the trees. You can feel the wind as it blows through your hair. All just because you've not seen it doesn't mean that it does not exist. Therefore, you believe in wind. And then the old Quaker preacher said to the atheist, have you ever seen an odor? Well, the atheist said, no, I've never seen an odor. The old Quaker preacher said, well, you can smell that dung in the field. You know what dung is, right, folks? That's poo-poo. That's how we say it here in America. Well, you can't see an odor, but you sure can smell an odor. You can't smell coffee brewing, or you can't see coffee, or you can't see that odor from the coffee, but you sure can smell the odor of that coffee. You can't see the odor of fried chicken, but you sure can smell the odor of fried chicken. So he said to the atheist, therefore you believe in odors. Then the old Quaker preacher said to the atheist, have you ever seen an airwave? And the atheist said, well, no, I've never seen an airwave. Yet you can hear the airwave coming over your radio. You can see the airwave as it appears on your television screen. Therefore you believe in airwaves. And then the old Quaker preacher said to the atheist, sir, have you ever seen your brain? Oh, that's right. You don't believe in that which you cannot see. Therefore, you must not have a brain. You see, heaven is a real, physical, tangible, and eternal place. Well, one might say, where is heaven anyway? I don't know, friend. I just know that it's up. And you would have to go beyond Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, but you won't come to heaven yet. You'd have to keep climbing higher and higher, and then you would come to Alpha Centauri, having two suns and 26 times more light than is found in our solar system, but you won't find heaven yet. You'd have to keep climbing higher and higher and yet higher, and you would come to this place called Vega, having 440 times more light than is found in our solar system, but you won't be in heaven yet. You have to keep climbing higher and higher and higher, and you'd come to the polar star. It would take light, traveling at the speed of 186,000 miles per second, 46 years to reach the Earth's atmosphere. But you won't find heaven yet. You'd have to keep climbing higher, higher, yet higher and higher. And you'll come to that place called Alcyone, having 12,000 times more light than is found in our solar system. But you won't find heaven yet. You know why? Because we can only enter into that place by faith. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By faith, my friend, although you can't see it, it does exist. At this point in time, you can't feel it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, you can't experience it, but it does exist. Why do I know that it exists? And how do I know that it exists? It's because Jesus Christ gave us the promise here in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And he said, behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I know that heaven is a real, literal place because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave us his word, and God cannot lie. The Bible tells us, and I love this passage of scripture. In Revelation 21 and verse 5, Jesus said to John, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He makes the new heaven and the new earth. He's going to give us a new glorified body because we have experienced the new birth and we receive new eternal life. I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words, I love this, these words are true and faithful. Who are you going to believe, my friend? Are you going to believe the government? Are you going to believe some politician? Are you going to believe some philosopher? Are you going to believe some false religion? Or are you going to believe in the words of Almighty God? You see, if these things were not thus and so, if these things are not true, it would mean that God is a liar. But my friend, God is not a liar. His word is true. Heaven is a place of resplendent beauty. There will be no need for a police force in heaven, because in heaven there will be no criminal activity. There will be no need for a military presence in heaven, because in heaven there will be no threat of a hostile takeover. There will be no need for hospitals and medical clinics in heaven, because in heaven there will be no sickness. There will be no illness. In heaven, there will be no funeral homes or graveyards, because in heaven, death will be abolished. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is a law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57. You see, heaven is a place of resplendent beauty. My friend, in heaven, you'll no longer need those crutches. In heaven, you'll no longer need that wheelchair. In heaven, you'll no longer need that leader dog. In heaven, you'll no longer need those medications. In heaven, you'll no longer need an alarm system on your home, church, business, or automobile. In heaven, you'll no longer need to worry about all of the conflicts and the affairs of this life. See, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If all that we had in this life, my friend, were to know that Jesus is our Savior and that we have the glorious promise and prospect of heaven, that would be enough. That would be all that we would need. But thank God he gives us much more than that. Thank God that he provides for our every need. And he can prepare a table in the wilderness. One day in heaven, there'll be no need for prisons, jails, no need for psychology and psychiatry. No need. No need for the former things that we experience here in this life. Heaven is a place of resplendent beauty. Heaven is also a place of rejoicing. It's a place of praise. In Revelation 21 and verse 4, the Bible tells us, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God will wipe all the tears from our eyes. The tragedy that we've experienced, the heartbreak that we've experienced, the sorrow that we've experienced, the woes that we've experienced, the troubles that we have experienced, the perplexities that we have experienced, the fear that we have experienced, the failures that we have experienced, the shortcomings that we have experienced, the sin that we have experienced, the brokenness that we have experienced, the hardness that we have experienced. One day, ladies and gentlemen, whatever it is that you've gone through, whatever it is that you've struggled with, whatever sorrow that you have faced, whatever pain that you have had to endure, God tells us that one day God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. And to that we can say hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God, thank you Jesus, because one day we'll enter into his eternal rest, and the things of this life will be all over, and then all we'll have to do is just rejoice and experience the glories and the beauties and the wonders and the greatness and the awesomeness of heaven, walking with God. Heaven is going to be a place not only of resplendent and beauty, but it will be a place of rejoicing. Hallelujah. A place of rejoicing. In Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 9, we see a great multitude in heaven rejoicing and praising. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? You see, my friend, these were saints. These were those who had their lives washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. But the thing that I wanted us to see from this passage of Scripture, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, is that God's people in heaven, they were rejoicing. They were praising. They were worshiping, they were singing, they were having a wonderful time as they worshiped the Lord. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. In heaven, my friend, we'll be praising. Heaven is not going to be a quiet place. Heaven is not going to be a place of quietness and silence. In heaven, we'll be praising. In heaven, we'll be shouting. In heaven, we'll be giving God the glory. You know, I think some of the churches in the 21st century especially a lot of the churches in America, and I'm not being judgmental, nor am I being condemnatory, but I think that they need to practice a little bit here in this life for heaven. I mean, you go into some of these churches, you would think that folks were eating oatmeal out of a tailpipe. You'd think that they had their cheeks filled up with rocks. I mean, you'd think that they were weaned on a dill pickle. I mean, you know, you go into some churches and it there's not much praise going on. There's not much happiness going on. There's not much excitement taking place in the worship service. Oh, my friend, we need to get happy about the Lord. We need to rejoice about our salvation and the wonderful, glorious future prospect that we have, that one day we will be in heaven. So just practice up. Just practice up by praising the Lord. Just practice up by shouting glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that heaven's going to be a thunderous, loud place as the multitudes of the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints and the angelic beings and all the creatures of God and all the creatures of heaven will be praising and honoring and giving glory and worship and thanksgiving to God. I'm telling you, heaven's going to be a loud place filled with the praise of the Lord. I like excitement. I like things loud, too. Not all the time. But yes, we will take our rest in heaven. And I'm sure that heaven will have many quiet places. Places of rest and solitude, comfort, and repose. I suppose, and I know that the most beautiful sight, I believe, that we'll see in heaven will be the face of God. The Bible gives us this promise in Revelation 22 and verse 4, referring to his children, referring to his people, referring to his saints. Here's the promise. And they shall see his face. Oh, what a wonderful promise this will be. The Bible tells us a little something about the face of God. The Bible tells us that his face we will seek forever. Psalm 105 and verse 4. The Bible tells us that his countenance shall shine upon us. Number 6 and verse 25. The word of God tells us that his countenance shall give us peace. Number 6 and verse 26. The Bible tells us that his countenance shall bring us exceeding gladness. Psalm 21 and verse 6. The word of God tells us that he will set before us his face forever. Psalm 41 and verse 12. Can you imagine that? Can you think of the many lonely times and lonely places in your life when you've said to yourself and maybe to others, I just wish I could see God. I wish that he would appear before me. I wish he would come and sit down and talk with me. Well, we have that glorious promise. It's a heavenly promise, my friend. In Revelation 22:4, and they shall see his face. And his face will be set before us forever. His face shall reveal his knowledge. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. We shall behold his face in righteousness. Psalm 17 and verse 15. The greatest thing that will not be in heaven will be sin. No sin in heaven. Never again in that wonderful place of resplendent beauty, that place of rejoicing, never again will sin dim the eye. Never again will sin distort the mind. Never again will sin deaden the senses. We shall behold him in the fullness of his glory. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. This world to us is a dark, dirty, dim glass. We can't see eternity. We can't see the other side of the river. All we can see at time are the clouds of storm. All we can see at times is the blackness of darkness, of despair. But one day there'll be no idols that will come between us and God. There'll be no veil that will stand between us and the Lord. There'll be no clouds, no carnal nature, no sorrow, no wickedness, no evil, no devil, no sin. See, heaven will be a place of holiness. Heaven will be a place of purity. Heaven will be a place of godliness. There will be no sin in that wonderful, beautiful place called heaven. See, the word of God tells us, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And that bride was revealed, and she's a chaste bride. She's a virgin bride. She's a virtuous bride. She's a pure bride. Heaven is a place of purity. There will be no defilement there. There will be no ungodliness there. There will be no evil there. Not at all. Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, and the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You see that? That's what is on the outside. No sin, my friend, will enter into heaven. Nothing that defiles will enter into that beautiful, glorious, perfect, holy place. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. How do we get to heaven? It's a free gift offered by Jesus Christ. It's a free gift because he shed his blood to cleanse us and forgive us of all of our sin and transgression. The only way into heaven, my friend, is to trust him as your own personal savior. Open your heart. Ask him to come into your heart for the forgiveness of sin and the free gift of eternal life. You see, Jesus paid your debt that you could not pay. You must receive him and trust him. And he's offering to you that wonderful city of God, that wonderful city of gold. He's offering to you that place of resplendent beauty. He's offering to you that place of eternal rejoicing. Can you imagine, friend, never feeling any sorrow? Can you imagine always being happy and glad and fulfilled and satisfied and content. Can you imagine always having peace and comfort and calmness? Can you imagine not having a worry at all in the world? Can you imagine of having everything provided for you? Can you imagine never having to worry about how you're going to pay some bills or where the next meal is going to come from? Can you imagine not having to worry about your children or worry about your job or worry about your health? Can you imagine, my friend, this is what heaven is going to be like. You'll never have to worry. You'll never be in despair. You'll never be perplexed. You'll never be confused. You'll never have consternation. Only happiness and joy and gladness and peace and comfort. Why? Because you'll have the continual presence of God, the fellowship of God, the communion of God.
I want to thank you for listening to the Half Hour of Power with the Stand Strength Team. You know, you may not have 100% assurance in your heart that if you were to leave this life today, that you would be with God in Christ Jesus in that wonderful, beautiful, glorious, majestic place called heaven. Perhaps you do not recall a time in your life when you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be your own personal Savior. You say, how do I do that? It's very simple. It's very easy. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross and rose from the grave, all you have to do now is ask him to come into your heart to be your own personal Savior. I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment, and I'm going to invite everyone who's listening to the sound of my voice. If you don't have that 100% assurance of heaven, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Now, I'll pray slowly so you can follow along. And in this prayer, you're going to be asking Jesus to come into your heart and to be your Savior. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you died for my sin on the cross. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my heart and to be my Savior. I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection. And I'm trusting you and you only to take me to heaven one day. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, my friend, and we love you.
The Stand Strength Team offers a 24-hour helpline by email. If you have any questions, comments, prayer requests, or any struggle you might be facing at the present time, once again, you can contact us at our website. That's www.standstrengthteam.org. One of our staff members will respond within 72 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd also like to give you this opportunity to become a monthly partner with the Stand Strength Team and help us reach the most needy mission field in America with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the public school system. If God tugs on your heart to join us with your support, please contact us at www.standstrengthteam.org. Please mention the call letters of this station. This is Kevin Schultz for Evangelist T.A. Nalyan and the Stand Strength Team saying God bless you and love in Christ.
This is Max McLean. Will you find one of the most eloquent descriptions of Jesus in Scripture? Listen to the Bible from Colossians 1. God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created by him,